Looks good.
Good.
We had to swap microphones this morning. For those that saw me going for the thermostats, I was not turning the air down, or I was turning the air on. So, I think one of them was set to heat for some reason. So we're going to look into that. Typically, when we've messed with the thermostat like we have for the funeral, you just hit run schedule, and it should go back to normal. Well, this one ran to its winter schedule, so it turned the heat on for us on this side, and it was turned off on that side. So we'll have to look at the thermostats. I think somebody might have, I don't know, maybe a kid or something was messing with it, but I told Brother Charlie, I said, just hit run schedule. And the schedules are off for them, so we got to fix that. All right, let's go to Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come together for Sunday school, I pray that you open our minds. Lord, help us to focus. Lord, I feel like I always say that, but that is important for us to do now, to make the conscientious effort to you, to be teachable, moldable, and usable in your hands. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Now, we've been looking at the letter U, and that's unity. And it's important for us as we get into this to understand that unity very seldomly happens by accident. You got to put effort into it, right? Whether it's in the home, in the workplace, and definitely right here in the church, you have to put effort to have unity among whatever body it is we're talking about. In the home, between the husband and the wife, there must be the conversations. There must be the compromise on non-biblical things, right? Speaking of thermostats, do we put it at this temperature or that temperature? Compromise. Be adults. What do we do for our vacation? Do we go here? Do we go there? That is a perfect moment for compromise. There's nothing biblical behind where you gotta go for vacation. There's be able to have loving conversations, discussions instead of debates. So that those are all valuable, and we need to know how to handle things when they go wrong, right? When we are in the area of, hey, listen, it feels like we're getting into a debate. There should be this ability when we're handling disputes or handling disagreements where we can recognize when in and of ourselves we've become, well, for lack of a better phrase, hot. We become upset. We need to be able to recognize that and de-escalate. Well, concerning the church, unity, we need to be concerned about the level of unity in the church, right? We should all aspire for church unity, right? Everyone as a member in the church working together for the same goal, not having issues among each other, able to discuss them with a heart that loves God and loves each other. Those involved in what we would call today the ecumenical movement often quote John 17:21. Let's go ahead and go there. John 17, verse 21. Says that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Now, from the ecumenical one church movement, right, this makes sense to them as let us bring all the religions together. Well, here's the problem. You can't be wrong on doctrine and be one with God. You can't. Right, whether it's the faintest of mistakes or it's a willful exclusion, it does not matter. In order to have unity with God, in order to be one with God, you must be in agreement with God, which means you've got to be right on doctrine. Right. Well, now, wait a minute. Why don't we just get, or I've been hearing Mount Morris, we've got a few churches. Why don't we get the Lutheran outfit together, the Methodist outfit together? There's a bunch of you Baptist folk. Why don't we get all you together? And let's really put together one mega congregation and we'll do something exciting. I can't do that. Why? Because we disagree on doctrine. I can't be one with you. Two cannot walk together unless they be agreed. So when we talk about unity, We're not talking about multiple organizations coming together to form one big church. We're talking about the church, us here together today, Home Missionary Baptist Church, unity within that entity, right? Flat Rock should strive for unity. 12 Ryan should strive for unity. All the graces that we know, the thousands of Grace Baptist churches out there, they need to strive for unity within themselves, right? That's what we do. That is also not a call for us to be united among like-minded Baptist churches. We are independent. Such and such Baptist church cannot dictate to us what it is we must do. The Scripture is the only thing that has the authority to dictate to our church what to do. Right? So when we're saying unity, we need to put the scope in order that we are talking about the local New Testament Baptist church. Independent of itself, we must be unified together. The ecumenical movement is doing this twisting. Is okay with denying what God has to say so that we can make room for what? Money, popularity, power, right? They want the biggest stage they can get. We must stand on doctrine. Now, if all the churches in the area, revival breaks out, and they want to change their doctrine to the proper, correct doctrine of Scripture, and they want to join us, then we say unity. Yes, because now you're a member of the church, and we will unify, but we will unify under the flag of doctrine. Under the Scripture. That's how we will unite and under no other circumstance. You think about what we're doing this week. We've got 4 or 5 churches coming together. One church is bringing over 30 kids to this thing, right? This is a ministry of Home Missionary Baptist Church. We are not one big conglomerate unity coming apart. We're not some parachurch organization. This is Home Baptist Church putting this on. Understood? That's not to be confused in that way of, well, we need to come together and do stuff like that. No, one leads, right? We are all separate entities, Even when we work together, that unity should be respect, but we are still independent of each other. So that should be the aspiration of every single last one of us. There's no reason for us to believe that God would give us the doctrines that he's given us for us to cast those aside for the sake of getting along with people. As a matter of fact, Jesus in much of his preaching warned us that because of the stands we would take, we would be rejected and we should count that as an honor. Right? That's not, well, it's okay to hide what you believe a little bit so you can make some friends. No. He says, stand by the stuff, I'll be with you, I'll send the comforter. He does that, right? But we should never lay down what we know. This specifically refers to unity between members within each particular church. Each particular church, and not all one big invisible church, not one across multiple denominational church, but each individual one. In this particular case, the church at Corinth, and we spent a whole lot of time looking at the church of Corinth. Now, from what we understood from our lesson, what was the number one issue, right? 1 Corinthians, our study in it, what was the number one issue? Other than a lack of obedience to God, right?
Yeah,
that's right, it was. They were not getting along. And there was all these reasons that Paul listed out as to what was causing it, the lack of unity. But it causes horrible things within the church. I've been to churches like that where the fellowships consist of a group of members over here, a group of members over on this side, and then you got a group of members all eating out in their car. Why would you do that? Well, without any stated purpose, I've got one guess. That there's some groups in there that can't stand each other. Right? I've seen some people that will avoid entire wings of a church building. Right? Entire sides of pews. Because that one brother who said that one thing to me 20 years ago is over there. And when they have kids, I'm not talking to their kids. And my kids aren't talking to their kids. Why? Because of that one insult he rendered me all those years ago. Right? That causes divisions. It causes cracks and it causes breaks.
And all of a sudden, we look back. Well, why did that church bust up into two pieces, three pieces? Why did that happen when all they were doing was talking about how to renovate this or whether they were going to do that? Because those cracks were in place long before. Because they were not striving for unity. They weren't working on it. They didn't sit there and clear up the insults. They didn't make the apologies. They allowed schisms to appear inside the church. The word schism itself means division, separation, or a split. And we should avoid that at all costs. Why? Because somewhere in there, sin caused the problem. Sin caused the problem. Right? We used to have in my grandfather's backyard, we were working back there, and I remember him teaching me this. He had this cement block, right, that he laid the shed on top of. Well, over time, a crack formed in that cement slab. He took something and he poured it in there, and he explained to me why he did that. Because the water will get in and it'll expand. It'll cause the crack to get bigger. Grass will grow inside of it. Bugs will start making their homes down in there. And all of a sudden, it'll be a monstrously large breakage, right, if he doesn't mend it now. And folks, that is the nature of our church. We're like concrete, right? We're all mixed together. We can solidify, but if there's cracks, we've got to repair the cracks, or something, and something else always will crawl into that division and cause it to get bigger. It is a purposeful decision to clear up any lack of unity, because we owe certain things to each other. We owe each other forgiveness. We owe each other apologies. We owe each other help and compassion and service and love. We owe that to each other. What is the whole purpose of it? Why should we even bother? Why can't I be a different person and you be a different person and it be me versus you? Well, let's take a look at some things. Go to 1 Corinthians 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. When people come to this church, we need to be a good example of the body of Christ. Also being the body of Christ, we need to be in fit form to be able to do the work and the will of Christ. So again, if there's any issues, anything that's causing us to be disjointed from another, we need to address that, because people get a glimpse of who the Lord is by looking at us. And that matters, right? This morning I got in, there was trash all up along the roadway there. There was trash in our parking lot. So I went over, I got the grabbers, I got the trash can, and I went out there and I put all the stuff in there. I cleaned it all up. Why? Because this is the house of the Lord. And when people come in today, I want them to be happy to have been in the house of the Lord. This is God's house. We're going to take care of it, right? So that's what we do. Right? So why? Because that is our representation to this world of what the Lord looks like. Right? It's bad enough that somebody didn't care to not dump trash all over the place. But must we, as children of God, also be perfectly okay with the splits, division, and the trash going on amongst each other? No, we have to address those things. And not just address problems, but build relationships with each other. Build that amongst each other. Right? So the aim is to represent the body of Christ. Ephesians 4:16. Ephesians 4:16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Right? Ephesians 4:16 sees the goal of our church to have every member working together, just as a fit athlete has every joint and muscle toned to perfection. That ought to be the goal, to be the best form of the body of Christ we can be, to be the most apt in our work, the most apt in our outreach, the most apt in our growth and teaching. We want to be the best. Right now, 1 Corinthians 12:26 gives us this image of the danger of our church having suffering members, right? That's causing the work of the Lord to be hamstrung. Right now, many of you've got problems like that. Maybe you're all fine, but your leg's not giving you a hard time, or it's your back, or it's you got a headache or something like that. When one part of your body is out of joint, it affects everything, doesn't it?
it's hard. You know, my hands can do a lot of stuff, but if my back hurts, it's reduced. You can sit there, you'll be all ready for a fantastically productive work day. But if you wake up with a migraine, you're done, right? It happens. Same thing with the body of Christ. If one person is struggling with sin, it affects the rest of us. Because we're not where we're supposed to be. If there's disputes among us, right? If the right hand is slapping the left hand, well, that's going to cause disputes within the church. That's going to slow us down. We need to make sure that individually we are lacking in sin, that we've addressed our sin and we're handling our sin. We need to make sure that we're handling issues amongst each other, and we need to be there to support the other people when they're struggling. Right? Otherwise, we find ourselves hamstrung. True church unity is not having a group of cloned Christians, however. I won't tell you where I was, but there was a church that I was aware of. It was down by where I was going to college. And if the pastor shaved his face, all the men shaved their face. And if the pastor got his hair a certain way, all the men put their hair the same way. And I go, okay. And if he pronounced something a certain way, guess what? Everybody pronounced something a certain way. Well, one day I got him. I grew up, I don't have much of a chin, so I always like to have something there. So I got out of Flat Rock, and I grew a goatee. And guess what? The pastor saw that at class one day. A couple weeks later, guess what he had? He had himself a goatee. And then guess what? My entire class had goatees by the time I came back from Christmas break. And I kid you, that's the way they think we... But I got to be exactly the same way this person is. That's not what the Bible says. We need to be fit Christians. Fit Christians. Right? Not, okay, well, this person, they always handle it this way. No, we ask ourselves, what is a biblical response to this situation? And we apply that. Now, that does not mean that we can't encourage each other or learn things from each other. I learned a lot of things from the way smarter people than me did them. That's just how that works. But the idea that I must emulate somebody is a major problem, right? There's that saying that a lot of the preacher boys try to preach just like how their pastor preaches. And guess what? That's not you. That's not going to work. And a lot of people try to act in their marriage the way that they see sister so-and-so act in their marriage. And guess what? That's not going to work. Why? Because it's not you. The question is, what is a scriptural answer? Your answer needs to be a scriptural answer to how we solve certain problems. That's how we'll have unity. It's not about cloning. It's not about everybody having the same thing and looking the same. It means having a spiritually fit body with every member matured, acting in maturity, and ministering and multiplying within each other. That's the point. You going out and bringing people into the church, me going out to bring people into the church, us preaching the gospel, us doing the work, us handling the things. Now, what helps? There's a help to church unity. At least there should be a help to church unity in every church. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Ephesians 4, we were at 16. Down back a little bit to verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That is the role of the pastor. The pastor's job is to seek unity, growth, education, preaching, whatever it is the pastor's job to administer to the body that way. I am a servant to you. Now, I understand that in many circumstances, it's hard to look at somebody my age, and some of you might have had problems that are older than me. I understand that. But the Bible does what the Bible does. Much like I always say, sin does what sin does, the Bible does what the Bible does. And what we need to be able to do is have somebody that should be the pastor of the church able to take those scripture and put it on those hurts and those problems like a balm or a salve, like a little bit of Neosporin on it so it'll heal. Right? Instead of us just sitting there going, well, it is what it is and there's nothing for it. We've been at each other's throats since the day we met. Since the day I was baptized, this person's been a thorn in my side, blah, blah, blah. No. We need to take care of it. Well, I don't want the embarrassment. You know what's even more embarrassing? Being that person thinking you're getting away with hiding something. And everybody can see what's going on. Right? Did I ever give you that illustration of the husband and the wife?
that I didn't know were husband and wife for the longest time. One sat on one side of the pew, one sat on the far edge. And I thought they both wanted to sit there, but they didn't want to make it look inappropriate, so they sat on far edges of each other. Took me for a long time. I think it was after I was baptized, when I was looking at the church roll, I realized these two people were married. Why? They didn't stay members of the church long. Why did that happen? There was rifts between them. There was issues between them. Now, where was the pastor? The pastor was in his office. The pastor was up there preaching. The pastor was at the church. Right? They had the pastor's phone number. I know, because there was the phone number for the pastor on the church roster. It was at the back table. They knew how to get to it. But they didn't apply the solution. They didn't go to the person who's there to help. Right? And again, why has it got to be the pastor if the scripture has all the answers? Because I don't know about you, but when I have a lack of unity, typically I'm part of the problem. Anybody here? If you and somebody else are getting away, you're part of the equation, am I right? And you have a hard time doing that. You have a hard time paying attention to that. We had in one of our homes that we had, I had the biggest issue with this guy because he was a hoarder. Right? But you know what his job was? He was a psychiatrist. His wife had more doctorates and degrees than I could count. They were highly intelligent people. Now, do you think they knew that there was a problem with the fact that they couldn't use their own bathroom for the sake of how much stuff they had? Absolutely, because they were highly intelligent people. As a matter of fact, he probably could have written me a fantastic article on the problem of hoarding. But why not? Because when you're in the problem, you're very seldomly able to see it. You don't get it. I can't remember exactly what his name was, but I'd always used to. I go. Do you think that maybe that? Do you see this as a problem? No. You're in a wheelchair. You can't get out of this little square space in front of your television. You sleep there. That's not. You don't think that's bad? No. And let's flip that to you and me. You ain't spoke to brother so-and-so in how many years? Yeah, but you don't understand. He did this and he did this and he did that. Okay. But you see where the scripture says there's a solution to that. Yeah, but it doesn't apply to me because the problem's all on him. Yeah, but you see where here it says in the scripture that if you're the wronged person, you have the responsibility to go and make peace. Well, why should I make peace? I'm the main character of this movie. They need. Instead, we take our pride and we put it with the rest of our toys, and we go over and we handle the business. Now, if they blow up and they're childish, don't do that. That's where the pastor comes in. All right, fellas, ladies, spouses, let's have a conversation here. And we go through it. Now, do you understand the Bible says this? Well, I never saw it that way. Of course not, because you're too angry. You're too upset. You're too emotionally evolved. Involved, not evolved. You follow? There's issues. We need to set that down. We need to be able to discuss this. And again, a lot of that happens, right? There's two different kinds of discipline. There's corrective discipline that comes in the form of pastoral counseling, that comes in the form of exclusion, comes in the form of us having conversations, discussing things out. There is the corrective discipline, but then there's the formative discipline, and a pastor better be good at that too, right? To where he can preach and teach church unity and administer that education so that we can have it. Again, one of the many reasons why we went through 1 Corinthians, not because there was a problem, but to prevent a problem from taking place. Right? He must be able to give that educational background from what the scripture says, to expound on the scriptures in a way that we fall under conviction when there's a lack of unity, or we get that encouragement that we need to maintain the unity we have. So again, it's very important for us to maintain and keep unity, and it's the pastor's job to aid in that. He is the aid to the body of Christ in this way. Now, there should be an attitude. Ephesians 4, verse 2. Ephesians 4, 2. There should be an attitude when it comes down to unity. What should our attitude towards unity be? With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Our unity is based on a responsibility we have towards God. And here's what that does. That cuts out our excuse of, well, they don't deserve it. Because none of us do. But the fact that God chose to save them and dwells within them, and the fact that God chose to save you and dwells within you, is all the reason you need. Believe me, I know we've all been there, I'm sure, of people that we would much rather take out to the woodshed. Right? Hopefully not in church, but we've all had those people where, you know what? My patient, you've exhausted all the patience that I have. You need to go to the Lord, find some more patience. Right? He doesn't even have a loan program. He'll just give it to you. We have been given a lot of grace. We need to show a lot of grace. Right? We look at some of these phrases that are used in this. Lowliness. Remember that little snide comment I made about being the main character in the movie? That's how many people act. You all evolve around me. That's not how that works. We are all players in God's story. The main character, the number one, is God. And we fit into the story, and we're glad to fit into the story because we've got a pretty good part. We do. So our unity must apply unity to what we do. So loneliness, there's no reason for me to get all uppity and prideful. I don't deserve any more than my brothers or sisters do. And I don't get any special treatment more than my brothers or sisters do. I am a child of God, just like they are children of God. I will give them the respect that I know God would deem for me to give them. We also see in their meekness. Now, what's meekness? It is not a lowliness. It is not, I don't want to use the word lowly. It's not a patheticness. It's not a weakness. Meekness says, okay, you first. I don't have to be the boisterous one. I don't have to get all the attention. I don't have to be the loud one. Think of a 9-year-old child. Hey, everybody, look what I got. My kids do that. You'll come over and visit us. And you'll know about everything they own because they will grab it, run between you and me who are having the conversation, thrust it in front of your face. Look what I got! That's not meekness. Meekness is, hey, when you get a second, I want to show you something. Right? That's the difference. That's meekness. It's respect. It is a way of purporting yourself to where you're not putting yourself above anybody else and you respect others. Long-suffering. Do you know how many times they've done that? Probably for a long time, but that's why it's called long-suffering, because it's going to be a while. Why? Because ain't none of us perfect. Ain't none of us perfect. Now, there are certain sins we handle through, and we react to, and we respond to, but there's going to be some things that we provide long-suffering for. Forbearing. I don't have to give you the boots right now. I can sit there. I can be patient. I can have a kindness about me, which leads over to love and kindness. Well, it's hard to love them. It's hard to be kind. Yes. Talk to God about it. He knows. We were getting ready for camp, and I had two of the young men who were helping me out this year. We've got a lot to do, and I've been just working so hard to get everything ready for camp. I'm really working hard. And I'm like, you've got one class, and you get to play the games with the kids. And then finally, one of them sat there and goes, I didn't realize you probably have a lot more to do than I do. Yes. And you don't understand how hard this is. And the Lord looks down at us and goes, no, I've never had that little to deal with. That's the way the Lord's. I've never had a sinner that soft. Typically, when you guys hurt me, you go for it. Right? And again, we go to the Lord. We say, Lord, you've shown me a lot of grace, a lot of mercy, a lot of love, a lot of kindness. Please, Lord, help me to show the same. Now, how about tender-hearted? How about tender-hearted? There are some people that our hearts get soft for. We need to have soft hearts when it comes down to dealing with just about everybody. Now, again, you got the scorners out there, and the book of Proverbs tells us what to do with them. And there are times of correction. I'm not saying that we abandon our backbone, right? It's tender-heartedness, not tender spine, not spinelessness. But we have that openness. Because, I mean, I ever approach somebody and all of a sudden their laughter turns into a grimace just because you're there? Don't be like that. Have an openness. Have a love for folks. Now, again, don't suffer bad behavior. Don't be permissive. But at the same time, don't be the hard case. And of course, it all falls under being able to forgive. Unity is fed by forgiveness. Because we're all sinners. There's always that potential that someone's going to hurt, bother, irritate, inconvenience each other. That is going to happen. But forgiveness creates unity. It is. It's the anti-inflammatory agent in the body of Christ. And we need to apply that liberally. Again, if there's ongoing issues, that's where, again, we step in with some scripture. Maybe the pastor has to get involved. There are things laid out in the Bible with how to deal with conflict. But push comes to shove, forgiveness needs to rule the day. Because, again, we don't deserve forgiveness. They don't deserve forgiveness. God, in all of his wisdom and mercy, gives forgiveness. We can't be any different. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for this lesson on unity. In a country right now that is so split and divided, and Lord, I believe that it's engineered to be so. Lord, in our church, in churches just like us across this world, we need unity, and we're grateful that you've given us the tools and the ability to have it. Lord, I pray that you be with the unity of Home Missionary Baptist Church, that we never find ourselves with unrepaired problems, unrepaired rifts, things, Lord, that we could fix easily with just a little bit of forgiveness but won't. Lord, help us when we got to make our decisions to be able to communicate clearly and peacefully, that, Father, your work would be done in a way that would bring you honor and glory. For its name of Jesus we pray. Amen.